Sir, one school of 2,100 or three schools of 700? That's the next question. Listen to the profession, we are told, on the matter of the 11 plus. And this is what the profession has had to say about one school. It seems to me that the board have sought to promote a course of action that achieves two of their long-standing and well-publicised objectives, regardless of the outcomes of any consultation and in the complete absence of any real consideration as to how they may be implemented. These aims appear to be the removal of selection at age 11, the rebuild of Lamar de Carteret schools. That is the view of one experienced senior school leader, who goes on, having worked on the Federation curriculum offer from the day that the secondary schools were told that they must operate such an offer, I've had serious reservations about the practicalities, effectiveness in terms of educational outcomes, and value for money of this way of working. To commit the education service to the expansion of such working and to actually rely on this as a prerequisite of the new structure before there's even been any evaluation of the effectiveness of the current Federation provision is, in my opinion, very high risk, inefficient and educationally flawed. This experience with Federation is backed up by one parent who wrote to me, "My son is in year 10 at Lamar and is doing one of the Federation classes. He's chosen to do computer science at St. Sampson's, and I have to say the idea of it is great, but in reality, not so much. He receives two lessons on the Tuesday, as does everyone. The only problem is that the children that attend that school, they receive a further lesson on a Friday, which all the other children do not. Our children are given a free lesson instead on the Friday, which they're supposed to do something towards a computer science lesson, which they can't do, as they need to be in the classroom at St. Sampson's with their computers. So he's being taught a third less over the course of a year. When we attended Parents' Evening, his teacher explained that, yes, it is a major flaw, and that all these children have to play catch-up every week, which puts them at an unfair disadvantage. Our experienced senior school leader continues, "However, I do believe that the removal of selection is simply incompatible with any four-school model, with or without a federated approach. In order to provide the best possible curriculum provision, differentiated learning and additional support for a comprehensive intake, I believe we would need an absolute minimum school size of 600 and an ideal size of 720 or 840. In order to provide the projected 2,400 secondary places, we could quite easily expand on the existing three sites and remove any need for the rebuild of a secondary school on Lamar site. Furthermore, it is likely to be achievable within the same time frame as the proposed secondary rebuild and will provide the Lamar catchment area pupils with facilities and resources to which they are entitled and overdue. The four-site model," he says, "is almost certain to be both ineffective from an educational perspective and unfeasibly inefficient in economic terms. So, very high risk, inefficient and educationally flawed, ineffective from an educational perspective. This is strong stuff, not from me, not from Treasury, but from one of our school leaders, and he is not alone. Here is another. The Education Board's preferred solution, which would in practice be educationally ineffective, for example, requiring a federated approach in order to provide a broad and balanced curriculum which meets the needs of all learners, simply because the four schools would be too small to provide this individually, as their proposed solution demonstrates, a compromise is far from ideal and would result in both an ineffectiveness and inefficiency." It was an irony that Deputy Sillars referred to compromise and fudge, because that is what his department's proposals are. Educationally ineffective. These aren't my words. These aren't Treasury's words. These are the words of a senior teaching professional. That is what they think of a one-school model. That does not bode well, does it? Deputy Laurie Carapel said some teachers are supportive of the proposals, but it's telling that none of the public messages from the head teachers or the unions, for example, support the one-school, four-site model. They've confined themselves to supporting the ending of selection. Even the policy and consultation feedback says senior educational service leaders also pointed out broader opportunities that could more easily and cost-effectively be achieved through moving from four to three schools. So we listen to them on the 11 plus, but not on this issue. Here is another from a long-standing teacher. I am fully behind you in questioning the need for four schools. If Lamar is rebuilt, one school needs to close. One school leader told me that the heads had all agreed that only three schools were needed, but that advice had not been accepted by the Grange. Sir, the pupil numbers simply do not support the need for four sites. Chris Nichols and his team identified that a year ago in their report. The only way education can ensure a broad, rich curriculum for all students is to create this nonsense concept of a hard federation. That never existed before this policy letter was published. We'd already been told the schools were in a federation. It's on their letterhead, I think. But only now are we told that it is soft. Multiple sources of evidence, including the Institute of Education, quoted in the policy letter, tells us that the ideal size for a secondary school is between 600 and 1,000. But with a four-site model, we will have a single school with 2,100. And whilst each site will have a capacity of 600, only St. Sampson's will actually have students exceeding that number. It's madness. So let's get this right. We're going to create a single school larger than that recommended by any of the evidence, and then split it up into units smaller than that recommended by any of the evidence. And you call that evidence-based decision-making? No wonder the profession describe it as educationally ineffective. No wonder they describe it as incoherent. Sir, can I just remind members of some of the key numbers? And this is important. There are 2,100 students in the secondary system today. Education are proposing that we build to a capacity of 2,600. We expect students to peak at 2,300 in 2026. What's going on now? Grammar is built for 600 and is operating this year with 443. Beauxcamp was built for 660. It has never operated close to that and is operating with 497 this year. This September, when Year 11 leaves and New Year 7 arrives, numbers at Lamar are likely to fall below 400, possibly to around 375 pupils. The arithmetic is so stark, we shouldn't even need to have this debate. Let's face the reality. If Lamar was burnt down tomorrow or was flooded, in the absence of its flood fund, we could accommodate all its current students in the other three schools the day after tomorrow. We have 2,000 places available, but actually probably have nearer 2,300 desks and chairs, given that classrooms are built for up to 30, even though, of course, the policy is for a smaller number per classroom. Now, to be clear, I am not suggesting that that is a solution, but I'm just giving you the facts. An additional 200 places across all three other schools will be sufficient until 2022. In short, we have plenty of time to build the extra capacity to meet the peak in 2026 and can more flexibly respond if population numbers alter from projections. Beauxcamp cannot be extended, we were told, but paragraph 9.1 of the policy letter concedes that it can be. In fact, if you look back, Education proposed a school for 850 on that site in 2001 as part of, wait for it, a three-school estate. In 2002, they proposed a school of 720 as part of a four-school estate and only reduced this in 2009 to 660 because pupil projections had dropped. Topographically, it is obviously a difficult site, but that does not make it impossible. The Director of State's Property Services has advised me in the following terms. I would not go as far as to say that it is simply not possible, but it would not be possible to do it simply. That seems to me to be a very fair summary. Would three schools of around 700 to 800 each be too large? No, of course they wouldn't. We already have got St. Sampson's at 720, and it operated at 774 in 2009-10. The grammar school site is designed for 1,100 and is currently operating at 880. Before I go further, I should say that the whole Lamar community must be congratulated on the fantastic evaluation they received in their recent independent inspection. It is a real tribute to them all, especially the leadership, and it's also a testament to what we all know, that teachers have far more to do with educational outcomes than buildings. But I'm afraid that the Lamar rebuild is the story of the emperor's new clothes. Like the little boy in the crowd, someone has to say so, and today it falls to me to do just that. I know that that will be deeply unpopular with some. It makes no sense to rebuild Lamar and then close another school. And I appreciate the emotions around that, and I appreciate that it will make people angry. Weren't Lamar promised a rebuild 15 years ago? Yes, they were. But that was before all the underpinning assumptions on pupil numbers turned out to be wrong. Don't they deserve the same facilities as their peers in the other schools? The management committee of Lamar wrote, "What is quite clear is that pupils and staff of Lamar de Carteret deserve the same standard of premises afforded to other schools on the island, regardless of the outcome of the debate in the forthcoming state's meeting." Yes, they absolutely do, but that does not require us to spend $64 million for a dwindling number on the pupil roll to provide them with those facilities on that site. The most effective and quickest way we can improve their conditions is to close their school and move them to other schools. Given that they are also the smallest secondary school, this will be the least disruptive for the system as a whole. But the public don't want three schools, do they? They told us so in the consultation, didn't they? Well, they certainly don't want one school of 2,100, and they weren't even asked about that. Neither in question 14 of the consultation were they asked their views on schools of 720 to 840. That bracket was missed out. So we don't know what they think of that, do we? Perhaps we could add that question to voting slips on April the 27th. Neither were they told, when asked the question, that the schools would be underutilised. If they knew that, would they still want to spend $64 million? I very much doubt it. But surely not rebuilding Lamar would waste the $2.3 million or so spent on the project. Yes, it would, but not nearly as much as wasting a whole lot more on a school we don't need and then having to run it for the next 50 years. How on earth have we got to this place? On the verge of spending millions of pounds on a project that isn't required. That may well be a question for the Public Accounts Committee to look at. Part of it is, of course, the delivery of the Education Development Plan, committed to by the states all those years ago, even though the environment has changed. Part of it, I suspect, is because we have an Education Development Office, whose raison d'etre is development. Their role is in the name. We've created a monster and it needs feeding. But what about all the other facilities planned for that site? The primary school, the preschool, and particularly the autism unit, and so on. If the amendment for three schools succeeds, I would move a consequential amendment to direct that these areas are considered, and also, importantly, to provide funding from the capital reserve under delegated authority to allow these to progress as appropriate. And I thank Deputy Stewart for agreeing to second that. But won't we lose teachers? Why? If the decision is made, there won't be any uncertainty. We didn't lose any when St. Peterport School was closed. Redeployments were managed in the normal way. But what about all the chaos created in the system when St. Peterport was closed? Again, if we listen to the profession, they tell us that that was because it was badly planned and dragged out for too long. But the department tells us in paragraph 2.13 that they're worried about their capacity to manage change. We can fix that. Again, if the amendment for three schools succeeds, I would move a consequential amendment to direct that funding from the Transformation and Transition Fund to ensure that there are sufficient resources made available under delegated authority to successfully manage this transformation in the education service. But surely we will need to spend millions on extending the other three schools. Yes, of course, some extensions will be necessary. Education have estimated $12 million for an extra 240 spaces. So a working estimate for adding the 360 spaces between Grammar, St. Sampson's and Beaucamp needed before our peak in 2026 would be $18 million. So we'll have a lot of change out of $64 million. And these three smaller projects, together with any of the other facilities required, such as the autism unit, could also be better spaced out. This will be better for our local construction industry, the one huge project which is going to suck in so much off-island labour, contractors, subcontractors and so on, especially at a time that the industry is starting to get busy again with large projects such as the Guernsey Brewery site and Lille's Yard. This decision could also settle the future of the College of Further Education, so enabling that project to crack on with the design of the college consolidated on the Les Oswey site. Once again, if the amendment for three schools succeeds, I would move, as part of the required consequential amendment, delegated authority to provide funding from the Capital Reserve to allow these projects to progress immediately. I'm sorry to say, but the only logical solution, the only obvious solution, the only sensible solution is to close Lamar. I have said very little about the financial case for three schools on not building Lamar. This is mainly because the case has already been made on the educational arguments alone. But the financial savings are obvious. The avoidance of $500,000 each year for an executive head and transport for four sites. The avoidance of the capital costs for transport in 2022. The ability to speed the transition to education's own pupil-teacher ratio of 1 to 15 from its current 1 to 12.6 at an estimated saving of $2 million each year. These numbers cannot be ignored, particularly in the context of the statement I gave at the beginning of this week about our fiscal position overall. And then, of course, there are massive capital savings that can be made, releasing capital for the other parts of the educational estate, including the College of FE, and no doubt the refurb of the grammar school, which is going to be needed before too long, but also for other projects in other departments. We spent several hours debating the unavailability of a few tens of thousands for the biodiversity strategy, and yet we can contemplate spending millions on an avoidable redevelopment and locking us into an inefficient, educationally flawed model for a generation or more. And I would ask those, such as Alderney representatives and deputies Paint and Quinn, who would normally be the first to remind us of the need to be fiscally prudent, to really contemplate their positions on this matter, as support for the Lamar project is totally inconsistent with fiscal prudency. But I know, we know, that value for money is not about the cheapest solution. It is about getting the best educational outcomes for the money spent. And that is where these proposals fall down too. Educational outcomes are being compromised and constrained by obtaining such poor value for money. What I mean by that is, we could be ploughing more into frontline teaching, where it will be most effective, if we were not wasting it on an inefficient one-school, four-site model. Sir, loyalty is a great virtue, and the Education Board have shown great strength in their loyalty in sticking together with these proposals. So in that context, I'm particularly grateful to Deputy Leliva for seconding this amendment. As the Deputy Minister for Education, he was very closely associated with this project and spent many hours arguing its case to me and my Treasury colleagues. I know he has found it very painful to change his position, with the accompanying feeling of disloyalty to his former colleagues on the Education Board. We all know that he is a man of principle. We all know that he is not a man who would be won around by the financial fiscal arguments alone. He has only done so because he has concluded that it is the right thing to do educationally. So my final plea, even if it falls on deaf ears, is to members of the Education Board to climb out of their bunker and change their mind. There will be no loss of face. There will be respect. In particular, I want to address through you, sir, Deputy Sherborne. Forget the financials. He knows in his heart of hearts that the foresight model is educationally suboptimal. He knows that it is an unsatisfactory compromise. He knows that his colleagues still in the profession who describe these proposals as educationally flawed and educationally ineffective are right. He knows that three broadly comparably sized secondary schools will offer a better educational service. I ask him to back the educationally more robust three-school model, not for me, not for the financial savings, but for the constituency, the children he has devoted his entire career to, and for the future generations of children who will pass through our education system long after his Education Board have left office in 6 weeks' time. So it dawned on me the other day that this is probably my most important speech in 4 years. There is so much at stake, not only financially, but also educationally. We are on the verge of committing, willfully squandering actually, millions of pounds of taxpayers' money to create a one-school, four-site behemoth, to a one-school, four-site model the public does not understand. To a one-school, four-site model the profession tells us they do not want. And worst of all, to a one-school, four-site model which is educationally suboptimal according to the profession themselves. If this Assembly approves these proposals at the end of this term, it will undoubtedly be my lowest point. I will be ashamed to have been associated with such poor quality decision-making. We should do what is educationally right, which is to have three broadly comparably sized secondary schools and give them, and St Anne's in Alderney, local management, just as we were promised and just as they were promised in the Vision for Education, which this Assembly adopted in 2013. To accept education's proposals would be financially irresponsible decision by this state on a monumental scale. And according to the educationists, they are educationally illiterate. They need to be amended by the adoption of the three-school solution, the very same solution the Education Department recommended themselves in 2001. Please support Amendment B2.